Welcome to Talking Truth, and today's subject is going to be encouragement. And there is a degree of irony here because there are four Scotsmen around a table talking about encouragement. And I'm not convinced that in Scotland or in the UK in general, so for your benefit, Paul, that we are the best at encouragement. So that's my question then. My question is, why are we so bad at encouragement?
Well, why do you say that?
Because I think that in large, when we think of what encouragement is from a biblical perspective, and we can talk about that in a minute, that we are not as good as we could be. Now, I know that there's the idea that I do like listening to Bible teaching from America, and I would read books from America, and I know the American culture is different to ours in the UK, but nevertheless, whatever cultural differences exist between the US and the UK, we still have a responsibility to be obedient to what Scripture commands us to do. And I would say encouragement is a commandment and a responsibility from the Word of God. So,
well, do you receive more discouragement than encouragement then, personally?
Well, I'm now living in England, so it's just this wonderful rosy bed of encouragement.
That was also where you were born.
So, two Englishmen and three Scottish.
No, actually, it's three Englishmen because Ian was born in England as well. So anyway, but carry on.
Okay, so in England and in Scotland, I still think that there is this general kind of hesitancy to give encouragement. And people will talk about things like, well, I wouldn't want to give somebody a big head if I gave them encouragement, or it's not my gift to encourage people. And I don't know if have you had similar kind of experiences where have you been encouraged? Do you get a lot of encouragement?
That's a good question, isn't it? Really, yeah. I think there are people who are good at encouragement.
Yeah.
Good examples that, you know, I can think of, and maybe you can think of as well. But sometimes you can be discouraged, and that's not necessarily through what people have said, because people have said nothing. You know, that can be discouraging. You think, what was the point of all that? I mean, many of us, sort of, many people here around this table preach, you know, regularly, and sometimes if you do it in the same place often enough, what will happen is as in a lot of things in life, could be taken for granted. Mm. And when we take things for granted, anyone does, then we don't tend to be thankful or encourage them, and not really thinking that people do need encouragement, which is different from flattery, probably, as we'll look at.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting point that you made there. You say, we don't often think that people need. So it's obviously, something that we have to be consciously, deliberately thinking about. But I don't know, are your experiences of encouragement different? I know you're in Lanark, Sir Graham, so we'll take that into account.
But we can't really spell it very well in that. So I sometimes think we can focus on it in a selfish way as well, though, that we can become so obsessed, like what you said, Paul, you know, like that statement, and some of us do a lot of preaching and maybe don't get a lot of encouragement, but do we actually give it as well? And so we need to look at it in a balanced way. I think that do we expect it, but do we give it as well? Are we able to?
Are you talking about, because sometimes in my experience, you are encouraged by things that happen, not necessarily just people. So you can be encouraged by the way that the Lord is working in different ways in your own life or in the lives of others. And you recognize that. And then sometimes, in my experience, usually older Christians who are a bit, perhaps a bit more spiritual or wiser through their years, identify that perhaps a word of encouragement would be helpful or appropriate and can say something to you. Not always praising necessarily, but sometimes it can be a word of encouragement which can be slightly corrective or maybe corrective as well. But nonetheless, the fact they've taken the time to think about you and to care enough about you to give that advice or give that input, whether it's corrective or whether it's praise, is an encouragement in itself.
Yeah.
That someone cares enough for you to do that.
And I suppose that kind of helps answer an important question that we need to establish, is what is encouragement? So, Stephen, you're talking about the fact it's both the idea of encouraging somebody to keep doing the thing that they need to keep doing, but also sometimes to stop doing something which the Bible says that they shouldn't be doing, that's destructive. So encouragement isn't always the nice things.
No.
It can also be sometimes an awkward, difficult conversation, but an important conversation.
I can give you a little example of that, in that locally, there was a younger friend of mine who spoke recently, and I had a little chat with him afterwards, because the content of what he delivered was good, the structure in which he delivered it, but and so I told him that and encouraged him in that sense, but there was just one little point I wanted to speak to him, and if he sees this he'll know it, which was he needed to turn up the volume a bit. He needed to be louder and to throw his voice a little bit, and so I pointed that out to him, and all of that was encouragement, but it wasn't all affirmation of just saying that was really well done.
The
person knew where you were coming from. Out of a heart of love, which is so important, isn't it? Honesty.
Honesty is critical. So it's not flattery, it's helpful.
So basically, if we're obviously bringing into the discussion to try to distinguish between encouragement and flattery, flattery would be saying things which are not true, or saying things which are exaggerated. So, because exaggeration is also a form of dishonesty, if we're saying something is more than or less than.
Or saying things that they want to hear as well, the person wants to hear. Having your ears tickled, I suppose, isn't it?
Saying something to someone's face, what you'd never say behind their back. You know, just saying that to please them, perhaps, or think they might say something back to you in response, which will give you something.
And obviously, we can come back to the issue of flattery, but I want us to think then about this whole issue of what is it? Because I think you used a term like affirming and an affirmation. And it's interesting because in Scripture, in Proverbs 31, it says in verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, we often think about the praising of anybody other than God would be idolatrous. But here Scripture affirms the importance that even a woman should be praised. So, but what is she praised for? Scripture talks about her charm is deceitful, her beauty is passing, but the fact that she fears the Lord, that should be something that is praiseworthy. So we're thinking then about the fact that when God is at work in an individual, that is something that requires affirmation. So when God is doing a work in one another, and then we should recognize that work. So we declare that God declares his glory in the creation. So the heavens declare the glory of God and so on. And we praise God for the work he has done in creation. We praise God for what he's done in saving a soul or in the providence that he shows us. But we should also recognize the importance that we have a responsibility to recognize the work that God is doing in us or in others. And because that's our responsibility to God. And I think that's a really important aspect of affirmation and encouragement, is it always has to have that Godward aspect to it. We often think of encouragement in its horizontal kind of aspect, that is, how is this going to impact the other person? But really we need to think about encouragement as well as how does this reflect upon God? Because if we are more patient than we used to be, that's not us. That's God's Holy Spirit working in us. It's not. So we need to recognize
that. I think that I would sort of summarize a bit of that, saying we praise God-like attributes or service which you see in other people. I'm sure you'll praise your wife for every time she cooks you a meal. Am I correct?
I would like to think yes.
Good.
If she was to answer the question, she might say,
maybe. But anyway, there's praise just for the acts of service that people can do, because serving, the Lord Jesus came to serve, not to be served. So when we see people serving.
Yeah, and I think it's important to ask, is praise or encouragement an end in itself or a means to an end? So if you praise someone, is that the end or is that a means to another end?
Well, I think that's again, we can come back to this issue of the difference between flattery and biblical affirmation and encouragement. So when we are looking to encourage that person, our end is that we're seeking really to bring glory to God. by the affirming a person because of the work God is doing.
But it's to, it's also to act as a stimulus to another end.
Yeah, yeah. That, so there is, I think priority is Godward. Horizontally, there's also the fact that you want to see
maybe,
change.
Maybe what I mean is it's not a reward. So if you are, if you see someone displaying character that's Christ-like or engaging in service that's helpful to in whatever context, you're not dispensing encouragement like giving out favors. It's not a reward in itself. So it's not done for the encouragement to obtain it, and the reward isn't, it's not given as a reward by you for it being done. So for example, those who are elders in a local church, if they have the responsibility primarily, although not exclusively, to shepherd and care for those in the local church. And so the, if they're going to encourage someone, it's not dispensing a reward. It's not done for that purpose, and that's not really why you're giving the encouragement either. It is to stimulate that individual to create growth, to create joy within them, to cause them to realize that it's appreciated, which will enable them to continue. So it's not the end, if you like. It's not the outcome.
It's to put life into it, isn't it? It's scriptural principles.
So it's an encouragement to persevere.
Yeah, isn't it? That's right. Sorry, just about in us. That the word is to give courage, isn't it? To give courage to keep on going in whatever you're doing.
And the difference is, one of my kids has just got a dog, and he's fervently training the dog just now. And he gives a massive encouragement if it does something, but that's because it's done that thing, and it's so it keeps on doing that thing. That's not what the idea is behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see godly character being developed, I mean that is. I mean, John, I have no greater joy than when I see my children walking in truth, and so you want to encourage that. And we all understand that life is difficult.
Yeah.
You know, we all have this battle of sin within ourselves. We're doing battle against the forces of darkness. We sometimes can be discouraged when we see other situations. I think the Psalm of Asaph, you know, whose feet had nearly slipped. You know, even the dead die easily, you know, and so Asaph had to be encouraged. And so it's important for us to encourage each other so that they can continue to persevere and develop godly character, which is a blessing for others, but also for the glory of God.
And I suppose a lot of what we're thinking of so far is, you know, us doing something intentional or should be intentional to encourage others. But I think as Stephen has said before, you know, we can receive encouragement ourselves from what we see God doing, you know, in whatever that might be. And of course, we receive encouragement as we hopefully read the scriptures, and we can be encouraged through that. And of course, as we can think, we can share the scriptures with others so that they might be encouraged to go on. I mean, I was thinking at the end of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, there's that quite well-known part. It speaks about the coming time when we'll go to be with Christ and all these things. And the last verse says, therefore, in chapter 4, verse 18, therefore, encourage one another with these words. So the idea that Paul is saying to the Thessalonians, speak to each other about the coming of the Lord, and let that, when you pass these words, share these words, give you encouragement to go on in the Christian faith. And again, we see the same words, virtually the same words, in verse 11 of chapter 5, speaking of the day of the Lord. You know, you're not going to be a part of that. That will come. Encourage one another. And of course, in that bit added on, and build one another up, just as you are doing. So the word of God, sharing that with each other appropriately, should be able to encourage us, the idea. Yeah.
So maybe then we should also ask the question of when. When is encouragement needed, or when is a encouragement and affirmation appropriate? Because okay, well, I've asked the question, you guys answer it before I tell you what I think.
Well, when is encouragement necessary or appropriate? I suppose it's different for in different situations. when would I encourage someone else? When I think it's needed, and when I think it will be helpful. So, Honestly, it wouldn't be something that I would be doing all the time. Maybe I should, but just reflecting as I'm sitting here, that I wouldn't be looking to be constantly encouraging everyone. But when I see someone, or when it comes to me that, yeah, that individual maybe needs a little bird of encouragement, or I should be an encouragement to this individual anyway. So I can't give a specific answer. There's not some trigger event or some particular set of circumstances that automatically think, oh, this is the point I need to encourage.
And some people. Go on, Graham, sorry.
I was going to say some people would need more encouragement than others as well.
Yes.
I think if you're looking at it from an elder standpoint, a true shepherd heart or a watcher's heart, if you want to use a proper word phrase, they see when they need it, or they know and they sense, they can understand when they need it. But every person must be there.
I think everyone needs encouragement. Sometimes we can underestimate, yeah. You know, we can do that. But some do. And that can just be the little things, whatever that might be. I can think of people who just actually don't mind just coming up and an arm putting around them when you greet them, you know, like that. And they enjoy that, you know, that type of thing. Oh, yeah, that you're showing your friendship with them. And they just need that little thing. There's sometimes little things. Or there might be someone who's had a, you know, I can think of a couple recently had an awful event, circumstance in their life occur, and you go and you speak to them and encourage them how well they're doing, how they're reacting in a very godly way, and they're doing the right things by affirming scripture to each other and encouraging them just to say, you know, keep going on in that. So there's a variety of things. I think personally, I don't know about Stephen, but I need to probably be a bit more intentional about it.
Maybe I think behind all, the prerequisite of it is to involve yourself in the lives of others.
Yes, of course.
You know, that's so important. It's very easy in the business of life to be target orientated, task orientated, you've got to do this, got to do that, but really what we have to do is spend time with people.
Yeah.
And to hear where they're having difficulties, and as you say, Paul, to encourage people in their specific situation. So that takes time and effort, and when you're busy, that's sometimes a big sacrifice to make. But however, they're the flock for whom Christ died, and that's great.
Yeah, purpose. I think you see that in Acts 4 and Barnabas. I mean, that's his name, isn't it? Son of encouragement, and he spent different times with over a year, sometimes actually just with certain people. And also by his actions, he did it as well. But spending time with people was what he did. When you see how often they spent a year in one place, just speaking to
he's
people.
He's the sort of person who by his presence, his character, and his presence in a place, people were encouraged.
You
get people like that who, just by being themselves and the way they are, they're inspirational, they're an encouragement, they actually draw you out to go forward by their example.
If I might sort of draw that, I remember this was many years ago when I was a lot younger, and that was a Thursday night prayer meeting, and the snow was on the ground, it was all around, and there was a drive out, and and I got there, and there weren't many of us, but there was like four what I'd call very older sisters all there, and that was very encouraging, the very presence of someone being there when that could have been easily not be there was an encouragement. And I think that's a good thing, even just those actions, we bring encouragement by sometimes just being somewhere.
I want to change the subject a wee bit, because there's something in my mind, which is that in our present culture, there is a shift of emphasis, so that quite often people are not self-motivated, and they rely entirely upon being asked to do things or direction, and if they're not praised, they're just down tools. And so they actually find it difficult to self-motivate themselves, to encourage themselves in the Lord, in that sense, as the Bible speaks about. And so that they become dependent upon encouragement, as they see it, or praise, or whatever. And is that good?
No, it's very unhealthy. But again, it's probably a reflection of their relationship with the Lord. Because as you were saying, Ian, that in terms of our love for one another, is dependent primarily on our love for God. So if we don't love God as we ought, then we won't love our brother as we ought. So therefore, we will not be serving as we ought. So it always comes back to that, our relationship with God and our love for
God.
But
how do you change that? Because particularly younger ones who are coming up within this culture where people don't push through, where people are easily discouraged. I mean, it's not the wind in the face, it's a breeze nowadays. And that's a fact in general in life, that people find it easier to do less and to be less.
I suppose that issue is the issue of resilience.
Resilience.
And I think that our culture is not building resilience into people because they don't deal with adversity. And they're not encouraged to actually face adversity because we want to mollycoddle and protect them from anything which is difficult or adverse. But I think part of the whole issue of encouragement is that, as I think as we said earlier on, that it's both in terms of encouraging people to keep going, but it's also a rebuke against a failure to be obedient where Scripture places requirements and responsibilities upon us. So there is a need to, if a person's relationship with the Lord is such that they are not doing what they need to do, well, there may be as an admonishment that is required in that situation, because people need to face adversity and build resilience.
I mean, I think 2 Peter gives very clear help with that, and it's in the sense that make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, mm-hmm. and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control with steadfastness or perseverance, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection with love. And so therefore, I think these things are building blocks. So if there's a problem with your perseverance, well, actually it's a problem with your knowledge, with your self-control. And so you've got to go to where the person is at, which means that, you know, that's where spending time with an individual comes in. And perhaps we're asking people to do something, but when the wind's a wee bit blown more hard, you know, well, actually they're only fitted when it's just a wee breeze, you know. So we've got to be very wise with what we're asking people to do.
Yeah. I'm thinking as well, excuse me, when you think about the Apostle Paul, as he writes about his experience in prison, when, you know, there was little to encourage him or few people to encourage him. And yet, even the things that were designed to discourage him, people were preaching the gospel to annoy him and frustrate him. He was actually encouraged because he had that spiritual perspective. Yeah. And he could understand that there was, even in the actions designed to discourage, he could perceive that God was working.
Yeah.
And therefore, he was encouraged in that.
Yeah.
So that's a whole different level.
Yeah.
But then again, that comes down to our knowledge of God himself, and which is paramount before we're able to deal with adversity. So because when people are discouraged, it's often because circumstances in life are not as they would like them to be. But if we take that verse in 1 Corinthians, which says we will not be tempted above what we are able. Mm-hmm. So there's no circumstance that's going to come at us in life that God hasn't sovereignly allowed, and that he will not allow us to go in a situation that is beyond us. Now, sometimes we think it's beyond us, but God is saying, no, it's not, because it wouldn't happen to us unless God sovereignly allowed it. But when our understanding of circumstances is based in the character of God and what we know about God, his goodness, his sovereignty, his power, then we are able to face life from a different perspective, as was the example of Paul and all the problems that he faced.
I think there's something else we could sort of speak into that as well. You know, and the example of Paul serves as a great example there. The gospel was being preached, as Stephen said, by some to annoy him, but he didn't get annoyed. There was this humility in him about that. He hadn't built his sort of empire, and I'm the king of my empire, and I don't want anyone else to even get near to my what people regard me as. There was this humility about him, and if someone else is doing that, and even, you know, if someone else was doing that better or getting more praise, that's fine, because God is being served in this. I think it veers us onto another point about this. You know, why don't we often give encouragement? You know, it could be because of pride in ourselves and the lack of humility that we don't want to sort of see others lifted up beyond where we are.
It brings us back to the first question that I suppose, wasn't it?
Right at the start.
Why do we not do it?
Yeah, why don't we do it? That's right.
I mean, I think it's also possible to encouraged by prayer. Mm. You know, when you think of Paul, we've spoken about him. I mean, the church at Ephesus, I mean, they were being persecuted. I mean, the people were made redundant. You know, people couldn't provide for the wife and family, I would imagine. So, but what did Paul do? He prayed on behalf of the Ephesians. So I think that's something that we can do. No, no, Lord bless. Well, that's not really a Pauline prayer. I think Ephesians chapter 1, that the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to working. So I think, you know, it is for us, yes, to get alongside people and to encourage them, but also to follow the example of Paul, to pray for people and let the Lord do his work.
Yeah, but it's also interesting that Paul, as he writes to the Ephesians, is telling them that he's praying for them.
Yes.
And so it's not just a private thing.
Yeah, that itself is an encouragement.
Colossians is the same, isn't it? Yeah. Give both thanks for your continuing.
And I think it's important that we actually articulate this. Now, I appreciate, and it comes back to the point that culturally we're a little bit stiff when it comes to actually talking about these kind of things, but it's an important biblical responsibility that we articulate these kind of truths to one another.
Yeah.
And I would suggest another reason why we don't is because we sometimes think, well, but they're not doing this. How can I praise or affirm or encourage a person in that when there's all these other problems? Now, if you actually think about Paul's example to the Corinthians, here's an assembly which is riddled with all sorts of problems, but he still at the start commends them and affirms things that are commendable.
Yeah.
And whoever we're speaking to, and that could be a Christian, it may even be a non-Christian, that there's still an important to recognize the work of God that's going on in that person. Now, obviously, if they're a non-believer, they're not manifesting Christ's likeness, but they are made in the image of God. Mm. And therefore, there are things that we can still affirm, and that can help build relationship.
But you see that in the churches in Revelation as well. I mean, there's so often this praise and then the problems are
best. That's
right,
When the Lord could praise, he did praise, didn't he? When we see the letters in Revelation, that's right.
That, in fact, the pattern in our New Testament, it's only the Galatian epistle where there is no praise for them. So when you look through the writings of Paul, much of which was instructional and corrective in terms of behavior, that in all of these letters, he balanced out correction with encouragement and praise to go on in that, which was, as you say, identifying, discerning what is of Christ. Mm. And in a Christian's life, there will be something of Christ. Some have much more, some of us have much less, but there's, as a Christian, there must be something of Christ in the life, because that's new life.
Yeah.
And so that should be encouraged. And, you know, I remember someone when I was much younger saying to me, you know, when you think about someone who is perhaps, you know, you don't have the best relationship with, you find their basic personality irksome by nature. And you probably wouldn't have any relationship with them if you weren't Christians. You know, think different ways, different personalities. And but this person said, well, it's helpful in that sort of relationship if you can make a intentional, as you said, Paul, deliberate effort to see something of the Lord Jesus in them.
Yeah.
To see something of that and to remember that. Mm-hmm. And it's helpful in relationships.
And to getting appreciate on it as well.
To appreciate it and encourage it.
Yeah. And getting on to Alistair's point about affirming that which you see in unbelieving friends, something of God's likeness, that's actually a good witnessing start as well, exactly, to get an opportunity to share the gospel. Yeah. I've sort of done that with people. You know, someone said, oh, I'm caring for my grandchildren today. Yeah. And you can just affirm that. I said, oh, well, that's, you know, that shows our God likeness, you know, something of that in there. And
I suppose we are, in a practical level, we are pretty fortunate that we are able to do it so easily in our day and age that we live in. Easy to drop a text to somebody, easy to drop a WhatsApp or a message or a voice message or whatever.
Little things count.
Yeah, so really there's no excuse.
I think it's like, to take you up on that, Graham, you know, in terms of practical step, how do you do this? If you feel you should be encouraging people more, you know, what practical things can you do? And I think that is a very basic, simple, but I think quite impactful thing to do is if you're praying for someone, not even regularly, but if you are praying for someone, is actually send them a text and say, I was praying for you this morning.
See, on a practical level, as a sister, that I know that does that, if I'm away somewhere for meetings or whatever, and I can almost set my watch by it, that I know that that Monday morning I will get a message to say, I'm praying for you in such and such a place this week.
Yeah.
She never said it to my face. But
it's
it is wonderful. But, yeah, actually,
she's texting you.
Yeah, so no, and I appreciate it's probably harder for her to say it to my face than it is to send it as a text message.
But I think as well, because when we think about giving, it's also important to ask the question, well, how do we receive? Because there's an awkwardness. Well, maybe you're different, but it's like, oh no, if somebody encourages you, you want to kind of downplay it. But the important thing is to recognize that it's God that has to get the glory, not me. Mm-hmm. And I think Corrie ten Boom tells this wonderful illustration about it. It's like receiving a bouquet of flowers. She would sniff it on the way past, because when you receive the whatever praise, then you thank the person, but the glory goes to God, not to yourself. And that's the right spirit in which to receive it. And I think if we keep that in our minds, it's a lot easier to give it, because our focus isn't primarily the individual. Our focus is God, mm-hmm. and we're recognizing our biblical responsibility to God to praise one another for God-like traits.
Mm-hmm. And we desire to see God-likeness in other people, because that's what His is. Yeah.
So what do you do if there's no one around to encourage you?
Well, in that sense, you have to encourage yourself in the Lord, because that's our biblical responsibility.
How do you do that? Up in the morning, how do you do that?
Encouraging yourself in the Lord. Yeah. Again, I suppose it's the idea that we are focusing on the character of God, and we're focusing on His character and the things that we know about Him and the things that He is doing in our life.
So we're driven into the Word.
Mm. Yeah.
Because, you know, it's the Word that we discover God, and God reveals Himself to us. And the more that we can reflect upon His love to us, His character, His plans for us, these things should encourage us on to serve Him and to live for Him and to increasingly delight Him.
And I know you don't mean this, but just to kind of tie that down, we don't look into the scriptures and discover these wonderful truths about God to have that detached from our life. We use that then as a lens to interpret the world that we're living in and the circumstances that we're experiencing, that knowledge of God ought to kind of affect how we interpret and understand our circumstances.
Yeah.
So we're all going to be much better at encouraging.
Well, you did very well today. Well done.
See, the sincerity is
correct,
overwhelming.
That's why, yeah.
That's
a caricature of what we've been talking about.
Yeah, but.
And you doing that is the same.
Just say yeah, no.
Yeah.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Absolutely. That we say thank you.
Very well chaired, Alistair.
We give
but you've gone
God
a bit over time.
The glory. So, anyway, I hope that as we've discussed it, it's been beneficial for us all and for anybody else that will be listening, that encouragement is our biblical responsibility. And I would end with that verse where James talks about, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is it sin.
Yeah.
It's that important and that much of a responsibility. So, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Alistair.